Good morning to you all, and first I want to thank those that prayed for me. What a joy to open God's Word and have Him speak. As we go into our study today, chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, I just want to step backward a bit. At this time, the church is probably about 30 years old, and a lot of the epistles or the writings of the New Testament have been given. And it is the time that the apostles, the 12 apostles, the foundation that we're built on. First foundation is the Lord Jesus, and then we have the prophets, and then the apostles. That foundation is almost laid, and the apostles are going to start to disappear. Paul here, this is one of his last letters. 2 Timothy is his last letter, but Paul here is pouring his heart out to those who he's passing the baton onto, and just trying with all his strength to make sure that the truth that God gave him would continue on. Chapter 3 hooks on to a good part of chapter 2. In chapter 2, Paul starts to talk about the role of man and the role of a woman in the church. And in chapter 2 there, it's the men that are to take leadership in the church. The woman is to be silent in the church. She has many other places where she can be used of the Lord as a great blessing. And as we go into chapter 3, that's been established, the place of the man and the place of the woman. And here Paul is talking about elders. The chapter falls into four divisions about elders, about deacons, and then the last two parts are to do with the church and everything, the reason why he wrote this letter and where it all stands on. So, as we go on from here, let's start reading. We will read down here about the elders, and it stops at verse, well, we'll get to it. I'll stop then. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. That's quite a list. Only the Lord Jesus fills that list perfectly. But in the eyes of man, as they look at making a person an elder, these things is what men should see. We here look at a life and we say, that is him. Some places here, some of us are maybe stronger in some areas than in others. We're all individuals. But this list, I wish I'd have time to go through it. I don't think I do. But you know, at the start here it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. It is a good work, very demanding. And if your life can attain to these, praise God. That's God's will. So to desire to obtain to these qualifications is a good thing. In your life, if you can do that, praise God. I might just mention a few things here. Blameless, the husband of one wife. I personally believe that means, some might say you have to be married, and you know, it is a great help if you are. If you're dealing with families, with marriages, it is a huge help. I don't know if Paul was married or not. I know he was an elder and or a bishop, and that's something I would like to mention too. There's a number of names used. It's the same Greek word. Bishop, overseer, and there's elders and shepherds. All of these are the same group of people. The Bible has translated some of these words. Overseers and bishop is the same word. And it is the same group of people. We as elders, what's our authority? We really don't have any. The authority we have is given to us by what Jesus gave us in the Word of God. What he wrote here, we are here to help people walk according to God's Word. If we see the group, the assembly or fellowship of believers goes wayward, we are here to bring them back to the Word of God. We do not go and say, we say this on our authority. We are under the authority of the Great Shepherd. And it's interesting, the Lord Jesus, only he is called the Great High Priest and the Great Shepherd. We are under shepherds, under him, and only his authority we are answerable to him. But the husband of one wife, I do think, means one thing for sure, and that it's not someone who's been divorced and really has a couple of wives, but he has one wife, is faithful to her, and vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. I might just mention there, I don't think it means to have to come up and be able to preach. But I think it does mean if somebody comes with a question or an argument that you can take God's word and point the answer to him and show from God's word what is truth and what is right. Not given to wine. I personally don't touch it, other than a swallow here or strong drink. I've never, and God has blessed me for it. We've lived very, very happily without it. I know that Timothy was an abstainer until Paul said, you've got a medical problem, and a wee bit of wine would help your medical problem. I know Paul said he won't do it, he won't drink it, if it makes someone to stumble. And I know in the Old Testament, the priests, they were told when they come into the tabernacle, don't touch it. absolutely abstain from it. If a person was under a vow in a special way to God, they weren't to touch it. It is not a need in a Christian life. I could tell you stories in my own life when I was being pushed to take it and I wouldn't, and the people afterwards said, "You're lucky. Don't ever touch it." But then, patient and not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house. What a challenge. And later on, the wives come into the picture here too. And they're very, very important in that part as well. And then we go on, not to a beginner, so that he doesn't get proud. And he must have a good report of them which are without. That another important thing. I know of an elder who didn't have a good report. And somebody came to his meeting, decided to visit, didn't know he was there. And when he saw him, that was the end of it. He never went back. How important these things are as the leaders, the ones who guide the assembly into truth and service for the Lord. We'll get into that a little more later. And I'm going to leave the elders at this time, and let's go on to the deacons. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And then we'll go to verse 12 for now. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, the same qualification there, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. There is a wrong idea of deacons in a lot of the churches here. The word deacon here, it is a very, very ordinary Greek word. It's used many times in the Bible. It is not an exalted word. The word simply means a servant in activity. Or one who serves. That's all it means. If you serve or work in the church, you're a deacon. But I'll get back to that in a minute. And I'll just write here, twice this very same Greek word is translated minister in Matthew. Six times it's translated servant. 22 times it's translated minister in the epistles, one time servant in Romans, and three times it's translated deacon. Deacon is the Greek word. It was literally a Greek word taken from the Greek Bible and put into the English. And in Philippians 1:1, 1 Timothy 3:8, and 1 Timothy 3:8-12, it is a very ordinary word. However, remember, we've established in chapter 2 the role of a woman, or the role of a man and the role of the woman. The man is to be in leadership. He is the one who God, he says in chapter 2, Adam was first formed, and then Eve was formed as a helpmeet from Adam, to stand by his side and to help him in his work. In a church or an assembly, there are places of leadership and responsibility. And I believe that's what this refers to here, is those places in the assembly or in the church that have leadership roles or responsibility. And that should be a man, a male man. And we are warned here, we're not just supposed to put anybody in those places. There's qualifications here given. Those that have leadership or responsibilities in the church, they are to be grave. The idea of life is serious. Every second that passes is graven with an iron pen in stone. You'll never get it back. It's solid. Solemn. That we, the person, same as the elder, realizes life is going past. We are moving toward an end. We need to make our lives count. They're not a joke. They're grave. And then not double-tongued. His word must be dependable. Saying one thing at one time, then when it's more convenient to say something else at another time, they're not to be that way. Not given to much wine, and we talked about that. Not greedy of filthy lucre. It can be easy to become money hungry and to push the limits as far as you can, but it's not a testimony. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. It must be a believer in the Lord Jesus, and I'll talk more about that a bit later. Someone who has trusted the Lord Jesus as his Savior and is controlled by him, and he is living according to what the Holy Spirit is unveiling to him, what the will of God is. His conscience are pure, at rest. And let these also be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. We are to take young or new people and let them have responsibility in a lower place, not in a leadership place. And if we see they come up to these qualifications, they're dependable and can be trusted, and then we can put them into places of responsibility and leadership. And then the deacons, the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I personally believe what that means. If you step into a place of public responsibility, you face criticism. Some people end up hating you. And it takes courage to stand in the face of that. It has to be a person who says, this is what God's word says. This is where I stand. No matter how you feel or react, this is right. This is what I'm doing. It takes courage to do that. And you will never make everybody happy. Somebody will always be upset and think it should have been done different. And this goes with being an elder as well. It's just the way it is. We're all individuals with different ideas. But we need to stand by God's word. That is what needs to be our guide. And then it talks about the wives. I think it means the elders' wives and as well as the deacons' wives. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Again, the grave, realizing life is no joke, and we need to be careful how we spend our seconds and our minutes in life, and not slanderers, always being truthful, saying it the way it is, not twisting it. Satan wants us to do that, and it's so easy to do that. And the word sober here, grave and sober, you'd think are about the same thing, but sober has more the idea of a sound mind, a mind that is clear and solid and sound. It can't be tossed to and fro real easy. It's sound, it's solid. I know what the Bible says, and I know I have peace, and that's the way I'm going. Faithful in all things. What a challenge to all of us. I certainly don't feel as though I measure up, but in God's grace, we have the righteousness of Christ when we confront or face God. If our trust is in Him, we have the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to leave them. I want to spend some time in the last three verses. They are so important. Verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul here is giving us the reason why he wrote 1 Timothy. He was not with Timothy at this time, and he was hoping to get to see him. But he's writing this letter to Timothy. In verse 15, he gives the reason. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Paul here, his heart is that the church would go on right. The Lord Jesus, when he left and ascended into heaven, he said, ye are my witnesses to the apostles. The church of Jesus Christ is the Lord's instrument to show to the world truth, the foundation of it, and what is pleasing to him. What is truth? Truth itself is an amazing word. You never can go wrong with truth. It is solid. If you have truth, you know that's going to happen, and that'll stand. And the church is to be the pillar and ground of truth. A pillar is an erection of something you see. And there are many things that in the scriptures that the Lord wants us as a church, collective group of believers, to show to everyone all around what is God's way, what is the way of everlasting. And there are many things fall into that, and I'm going to mention one this morning. We are, or this Sunday, there has been a bill passed in government, something to do about converting someone. It's to do about gender. If you discourage someone changing their sex, that you could be put to jail for five years. And we as a church need to make clear one of the things, we are a pillar and ground of truth, is God made man, and when he made them male and female. He made them different, and yet he both calls them man. They both can appreciate God and understand each other, but they have a different role. They've been given different bodies, with each of them have a different role. The one cannot take the other's, and nor the other the other. And it is very clear in Scripture, God has laid out male and female together, that only in the bonds of marriage is it right for to have sex and to live together that way. We are a pillar to the world with that truth, that man is man and woman is woman, and only marriage is God's okay for that union together. And we need to tell people that, let them know that. God says in that in one place, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In many other places he gives the warning, and we need to warn people they are living under the judgment of God. It is wrong to go and to fight against them and force them not to do this. God gives them a free will. It is our responsibility to tell them, do you know you are living against God's will? Another pillar and ground of truth, and I'm coming into this soon, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus. We're all sinners. You know what? I wouldn't doubt that every single one of us would be acting like those that don't know the Lord. We'd be doing, practicing the very same things, but the Lord saved us. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ who heals broken hearts, who frees captives, who opens the eyes of those who don't see the truth. And you can go on and on. These are pillars or things that we as a church need to show to the world. And may God help us to do that. We've just been watching some videos of the past when the blood flowed by rivers for those who stood up for the truth and lost their life for it. The Bible we hold is very, very precious. Much blood was shed to bring it to us. Much blood was shed to give us the freedom we have today. And we need to be thankful for it and thank God for it and use it. The last verse, I think, is the most important to all of this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You might wonder, why did Paul put this verse here? Brothers and sisters, this is the foundation that the church stands on. The truth, the wonder of God manifest in the flesh. How we're learning how vast the universe is. We can't find the end. They are piercing further and further into space, and they're only finding more. This God, who is so great, came down to this speck of dust in one of the arms of the Milky Way, just a speck of dust in that arm. He came down to this world and he became a man, a few pounds of flesh and bone. The God who holds the seas in, spinning 1,000 miles an hour on the edge, the centrifugal force is unimaginable, holding miles of water in and keeps the moon in its orbit, and who has the minutest, tiniest atom in his control. He became flesh, a man. What a wonder. It is on this truth, the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that all the church stands. It is on this person that an elder becomes an elder. It tells us God makes an elder. We don't appoint an elder and make an elder that way. It says in Acts 20:28, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. We watch people, and if they display these qualifications as a deacon or elder, then we ask them to serve. It is God that goes into a life and develops it according to his will. And here is the foundation. When a man puts his trust and faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes a new creation. And at that moment, if he has truly done that, God has one point for him. I'm going to make you like my son, the Lord Jesus. And from that moment all that happens to that person is to make him more like the Lord Jesus. It is when a person's faith is in the Lord Jesus to forgive his sins, to make him a child of God. It is when his faith is in the Lord Jesus to empower him to live a godly life. It is that where godliness comes from. We do not go and say, we're going to live a godly life. We're going to do it ourselves. The Jews tried that. It didn't work. It's as we come to the Lord Jesus and realize we're lost. We're going to hell. We're under God's judgment. But he died for me, and he can forgive me if I ask him to. And I ask him to forgive me, and I say, Lord, I'm yours. Now you live in me. Live out your life in me. From that, we have the solid rock the church stands on. And we may not leave that. I know of a number of churches. What they've done is only talked about the Lord Jesus as a good example and left out the gospel of Christ, the real gospel, the substitutional work of the Lord Jesus. Their doors are closed today. Jesus, the person and work of the Lord Jesus, is our life. It's our foundation. We have none other. We need to stand on it to live our lives, to be forgiven, to be fit for God. And then the rest of it is all proof that God became flesh and that he was manifested in the flesh. First of all, justified in the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him and showed clearly this was God's anointed. And then in transfiguration, he was transfigured. And in resurrection, it tells us the Spirit raised him from the dead in one place. And then in his ascension as well. And he was seen by angels at his birth. In his temptations, they ministered to him. In Gethsemane, they ministered to him. In resurrection, they were in the grave. in the ascension, they said he ascended into heaven and he was preached in the world unto the Gentiles. What a wonder this small group of people in Jerusalem. If Jesus hadn't raised from the dead, those soldiers would have went into that tomb and got out the body of Jesus and paraded it up and down the streets of Jerusalem and said, look at here what they're saying. He's alive, they say, but look at here. Here's his body. But they couldn't do it because he was gone. Christianity would have stopped there. It was there it started. And if Christ wouldn't have risen, it would have stopped there in that day. But now, he is literally, the message is going around the world. He's believed on in the world. There are many, many trusting his person and his work to save them today. And then received up into glory. And the word there, it really shouldn't be to be received up into glory. The word really should be, the Greek word is received up in glory. Or that's his tremendous victory with which he ascended. When he was received up, he was set at the right hand of God. He was given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And he was said that he would reign forever and ever. And all his enemies are going to become his footstool. This is proofs that Jesus was who he claimed to be. It is on this foundation that we have deacons who have put their faith on this foundation. Well, first of all, that the pillar and ground of truth is upheld, and there's a foundation to hold it up, and that the deacons have put their faith in Christ, and Christ is living through them and doing this work, and that the elders likewise, their feet are on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and work of Christ. It cannot be overdone. It is all we have, and we may not leave go of that. It must be forefront in everything. If Christ isn't in it and empowering us in it, it's going to fail. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we just don't really understand how big you are and that you love us as individuals and that you not only have numbered our number of our hair, but you've actually numbered every hair we lose. You say that's number 510 or 650. That's how much you know us. And oh, how you loved us. You came and died. And now if we look to you, you can save us and give us everlasting life, hope, joy, peace, and you can restore our lives and make something out of them. How we thank you for this foundation and this truth. I want to pray again for each person that's here. If there's someone that has never trusted Jesus in this way, may your Holy Spirit come upon him and convict him, and he might know the joy and the peace you can bring. We just pray for this and for us who know you, that we might indeed say, Lord, here I am, work through me. May it be your strength, your wisdom, your guidance that leads me. Just ask these things, and may you take us home in safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.